Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass, the podcast which takes you behind the scenes of the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, as well as the automotive and social media worlds. I'm your host, Sam, from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, and this week I'm joined by Harry Hammond from Lawbeck Luxury Cars in Melbourne, Australia. The guys at Lawbeck very kindly offered to host a meetup for me whilst I was passing through during Drive the World. And considering they are one of the biggest and most impressive car dealerships I've ever been to, I thought it'd be interesting to sit down with Harry and chat about the car and supercar market in Australia and in Melbourne. We recorded this just before the meetup started, so you can probably hear in the background not only a DJ playing a whole load of live music, but also some cars revving and arriving into their huge parking lot. So apologies if the sound has interfered at all. Also, we were interrupted a couple of times as people arrived, came and went, came to say hello. So hopefully I've edited all those out, but sit back and enjoy, because Harry is a really interesting guy, a young guy who is intrigued by cars that not all of us get intrigued by, classics and pre-war to be specific, but he also shares a lot of interesting thoughts on the Australian car scene and the more modern supercar. Make sure to subscribe for upcoming episodes wherever you're listening to this podcast. Well, Harry, thank you very much for hosting me today here at this absolutely stunning dealership.
It's an absolute pleasure. We wouldn't have it any other way.
I think this has got to be one of the most amazing sort of car dealerships in the world in terms of presentation, scale, variety, history, everything.
Yeah, well, a massive amount of effort goes into keeping the place looking as good as it does. I mean, it's 3 years old, but it still, we like to think, looks absolutely brand new. But more than that, there are lots of other dealerships around the country who have cars that are comparable to us, probably not on the same scale that we do, but certainly the quality of the cars will be getting close to what we offer. But we want to create an environment which is inviting for people. And so our philosophy is that most people who own a collection of cars don't actually drive them. So we're offering the experience of having a car collection just in the same way that anyone else would, because they don't really drive them. So they can come down and enjoy them. But the bonus is they don't have to pay for it. So people can come down, have a coffee on us, have a look around, enjoy the cars, experience them in just the same way that most car collectors actually do experience their cars.
It's a very inviting space as well. You guys listening obviously can't see where we're sat, but we're currently in a sort of, well, I guess an office or a boardroom overlooking the showroom below us.
It's very James Bond. We've got the James Bond seat in the corner too.
It is. There's a huge sort of red chair behind us where you can look out onto the cars below. And I guess this main first showroom is kind of really the special cars.
Yeah.
We've got everything from 720S, Lamborghini Aventador.
Two 720S.
Sorry, thank you very much. Two 720S. We've also got some amazing sort of memorabilia, race car memorabilia hanging around on the walls and on the roofs. I'm looking at a Ferrari Formula One car from 2001, which is like makes me smile a lot.
And you can't actually see it from downstairs. You have to come upstairs. So it's a little hidden gem we've got.
It's unbelievable. And you find them everywhere, from race overalls to all the different toy cars.
Who's
the toy cars though?
They're all Shrekos. Okay. So he just collects them over 35 years of being in the motor. He tells you 35. I suspect it's actually longer. He likes to pretend he's a bit younger than he is.
Oh, we're saying it's 25.
But that's collected over many years of being in the industry. And then, you know, we've got the Streamliner on the wall, which has actually got race pedigree.
Wow.
That was a car that was raced. I can't remember all the details off the top of my head, but we've got a little plaque over there which details everything that's done.
Amazing.
So everything's got a little bit of history. Everything's got a bit of a story behind it. So it's not just bits and pieces that are randomly sort of scattered around. Everything has a story, and everything comes together in one way or another that's significant to us.
Sure. Okay, well, talking of stories, let's go back to the beginning and start with yours. How long have you been working here at Lorbeck? And are you a car guy or are you a salesman through and through? What's your story?
No, well, I'm probably a natural salesperson, but I generally keep away from it because I think it's hard to... you can't do everything. You need to sort of have a bit of separation. And particularly when you're in a position where you're almost offering advice, because our marketing, we try not to push selling the cars. So we're almost offering advice. So I'd want to feel like I'm in a position where people could trust me to say, you know what, that's probably not the car for you. This might be a better option. Let them make their decision. Where if they see me as a salesperson, they're going to think I have a vested interest in it, where I might not necessarily exactly have that. But, and going on that tangent, I completely forgotten the rest of your question.
I basically said, where did it all start for you? So how long have you been here at Lorbeck, and where did your passion for cars, if you have one, start?
So I've always loved cars, absolutely obsessed with them. When I was really little, I was very sort of Asperger-y sort of thing. I used to have the biggest collection of Matchbox cars you've ever seen. I had thousands of them. And I used to line them all up from one end of the house to the other, biggest to smallest, and I'd play with them. No one else was allowed to touch them. And I absolutely adored them. And that really got into my system. And my grandmother was sort of strangely into cars. She always had sort of interesting cars. She had, you know, Fiat 124 coupes back in the 70s. Wow. My grandparents always had Jaguars. And when I was little, she had a burnt orange E30 325 coupe, I think.
What a baller!
Yeah, so and I always loved that car. And I was a pretty badly behaved child. Always screaming, always upset. But the one thing that would always make me happy is they'd throw me in one of the cars and keep me there, and I'd just sit there entertained for hours. And we used to have a holiday house up in Noosa, and we had a car there, which was an old ex-army Land Rover. And everyone in the family absolutely hated it. But I loved the thing. I just remember, I still to this day, I would have only been two or three when we had that car. Just the sensation of holding the gear stick and feeling the vibrations and the noise and that smell of petrol and probably leaking petrol and burnt oil and all that sort of other stuff that goes with old cars, and just exciting me. And ever since that, I've never been able to shake it off, which is unfortunate because, you know, I think there are other hobbies which are a lot cheaper and more affordable.
Yeah, but I think not as fun. I mean, I think being a car
guy, if you enjoy it, it's fun.
Yeah.
But I can't enjoy other things. I just love cars.
Cars.
But it's an... And that's what brought me to do all of this.
So were you, have you only ever worked in the car? Well, like, is that what you wanted to do? Or?
No, to be honest, I never, I still to this day don't know what I want to do when I grow up. So I have a habit of just sort of stumbling into things and just, I've always got the mentality, you just give something a go, if you don't like it, you move on. And things naturally take their own course. So you never know what's around the corner. And I've always liked that element of, surprise, I guess. So I've always just thought, you know, give it a go, see what happens. And if you can offer something to, you know, a company, I'm not biologically related to Shrekar or anything like that, but we just get along really well. And if I can do something that will benefit him and his company, while also doing something that I enjoy, that's a win-win. And that's sort of the view I take with it.
And so growing up with your Matchbox cars, what were the cars you were leaning towards? Because below us, we have a lot of, maybe you'd call them European exotica.
There's
a whole Australian car culture, which I'm starting to get a hint of. So the utes and the muscle cars.
Yeah, well, the Australian car culture is dying a little bit, unfortunately, just because of the manufacturing's left the country. But to be honest, my passion really lies with pre-war cars and 60s sort of coach-built classics. Those are the cars that I absolutely love. So your pre-war Rolls-Royces, Bentleys, not so much Italian cars. I think they're, to be honest, I know people are probably going to chase me with pitchforks and flames on sticks, but I think they're a little bit overrated, to be honest. Look great, sound great, but they're not that nice to drive. Where the old British cars, just superb to drive. They just had this... There's just something about them that I love.
Do you mind me asking how old you are?
I actually have to think about that sometimes. So I can never. I'm not very good at keeping account of that. But I'm 27, turning 28 next month. Yes.
Okay. Well, it's the reason I ask is you don't find many people these days, because I assumed you were of that kind of age.
Yeah.
That are into pre-war or 60s cars. It's rarer and rarer, I find.
Yeah.
So. That must have come, was it from your grandmother you mentioned?
Like, no, where did that come from? I worked with pre-war cars for quite some time. And I obviously know how to drive crash box cars, and I spent a lot of time driving Silver Ghosts. So like parallel bonnet ones, and a lot of London to Edinburgh style cars. So that driving that type of car, it's an experience that you don't get from any other car. It actually gives you an understanding of how cars work, and gives you a whole understanding of mechanical sympathy. So to be able to drive a crash box, you have to actually understand how a manual gearbox works. And once you drive a car, one of those gearboxes, you then realise we're actually pretty rough on all these modern cars. I mean, if theoretically, you should be able to drive any of these cars without a clutch. And if you can do it, then you're doing it properly. But if you can't, then you're probably doing some damage to the car.
It's amazing how...
But how did you get into the cars? What's
I would blame my mum. I don't know if I blame is the right word. I was Formula One obsessed.
Yeah.
So I've always been obsessed with motorsport, but the road car thing came from sitting on my mum's lap driving her Audi A4s at an age that was definitely not legal.
Okay, yeah, we've all done that.
I think that was kind of where it really tied in. But for a long time, it was always the modern stuff. Like my passion for Ferrari came from the Ferrari Formula One team, and my passion for supercars just came from being in London, seeing big, shiny, fast cars.
It's natural, particularly if you're down in Knightsbridge or on the West End or something. You're always seeing something interesting that a Russian or a Saudi prince has got or something like that.
And that's been going on forever, and that's where I was growing up. So I was surrounded by this and thought it was amazing. And I was a little bit snooty towards classic cars and definitely pre-war cars. I was like, what is this stuff? Don't get it.
Yeah.
And thank God, through YouTube, through the people that I've met, I've learned and built a real appreciation and now quite a fascination with, for me, maybe not pre-war. Pre-war still I struggle with a bit, just because of lack of knowledge. But the 60s and 70s stuff I'm obsessed with now. And it's so cool coming here where you have such a wide variety of cars that span so many ages and tick everyone's box, because there are people that like all different kinds of cars, aren't there? Wherever you go, there's different passions, different interests.
Yeah, but there's something that always interests me to ask someone who obviously drives a lot of cars and has a lot of experience with cars. What is the best car on the market at the moment that you've driven, and what is the best car if you're on a budget and you wanted some, you want something that was fun and interesting, putting you on the spot there?
What I love, Harry, is I'm supposed to be interviewing you, but this is quickly...
I'm curious to see what you're interested in.
I think the best car on the market new today, as a purely as a car, is the 600LT McLaren.
Interesting.
However, it will probably break, it might catch fire, and you're going to lose 100 grand on it. But if you can stomach those three things, it's incredible.
Okay, so you're one of those McLaren people.
Yeah, well, I owned a 540C, which I'm not sure if you get in Australia, the really baby one.
Yeah.
And it was that car that when I was driving it at 100%, which was very rare, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And probably should have been 50 grand more than it was listed at. But it broke constantly, it cost me too much, and I couldn't sell it for night or day.
We never really hear horror stories about reliability for McLarens.
No, it's a very rare thing.
Very rare. I mean, you're used to it with not McLarens, Ferraris and all of that, but I mean, even them, the Ferraris now are reliable as Hyundais.
Well, I think it's usually electronics, to be fair. So it's not like you're going to be driving and the gearbox is going to fall out.
Yes.
But it's just annoying glitches. You know, when you're buying a car, well, for me, that was way too much money. I went too big too soon. and I couldn't really afford it. And then when it had electrical glitches, I was like, I don't feel like this is what I should be getting for this money.
Yeah.
But I do think that McLaren build incredible cars that are that beat most other sort of things at their level.
Is that the bit of pomming you've been, bits of patriotic?
Yeah, exactly. It's because it's British.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm an Italian.
I love
car
a Monaro.
Can you imagine? Best car for a budget. I would always say a used F-Type.
Interesting.
Because I owned an F-Type R again.
Okay. And V8
rear-wheel drive I had.
Okay, supercharged?
Yeah. Supercharged, exactly. 5 litre, big and shouty.
First time I've driven one of the 5 litre supercharged last week. That car is ridiculous.
And it just makes you smile. It's silly, it's loud, it looks very stylish.
Yeah.
If you got a 2014 car with 60,000 miles, no one would know that it's not a brand new car.
No,
you know,
exactly.
They haven't changed much. Mm. Likes the feel, but it's just a sense of occasion car. Mm. And so you can pick them up in the UK.
And the overrun on them.
Oh my god, the bang, old bang, one. Bang.
It's like a Gatling gun on the back.
Honestly. Mm. So it's a real smile car. And I think in the UK now you can get them used at like 40, 45 grand, which I think is a bit of a bargain. So.
Yeah, well, they're not quite that cheap here, but they're not far off that really once you convert everything.
Well, let's come on to that actually. So to come back to speaking to you, okay. Because my audience will know the answers to those questions pretty well. What is the sort of Australian and maybe Melbourne car market like? So firstly, prices.
Yeah.
And secondly, demand.
Yeah.
Like, do you have a lot of supercar buyers or car collectors?
Well, that's a really curious thing about Australia in general, but particularly Melbourne, because it's a bit of a boring sort of background, but I'll try and get through it as quickly as possible just to give you some context to it. But back in the turn of the century, Melbourne was the richest city in the world with the gold rush. So there's a lot of old money and a lot of wealth that still lives, particularly in Victoria. And that's why you see all those really amazing sort of Victorian era buildings in the city that are still there. But the culture is generally, it's not a very showy culture. But we're massive buyers for luxury cars. I mean, per capita, Australia is the biggest buyer of AMGs in the world.
Wow.
And I think the fifth biggest buyer on just volume, 13% of all Mercedes-Benzes sold in Australia are AMGs.
Wow.
So that just puts into context that people, the average Australian is quite a wealthy person and they generally spend a fair bit of money on their cars. But the thing is, you never actually see them because people are very private about flaunting wealth and all of that in this country. So there are garages, we know of garages which have got Sennas, McLaren F1s, Bugatti Veyrons, Enzos, LaFerraris. All of these exist in Australia, but you will never see them on the road.
Okay. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And what you'll see here, you'll see a lot of really cool cars. But to put it into perspective, this is a very, very minute percentage of the actual demographic of people that live in Melbourne in particular. People don't show off their cars, but they're everywhere. And Bentley sell massive numbers of cars. Rolls-Royce sell a very large number of cars, and especially Lamborghini and McLaren. They're just pumping cars. And a lot of these places can't get the supply that they need to meet the demand.
Wow.
We're a very small market. I mean, it's a country of 25, 26 million people. But we punch well above our weight in terms of what we buy. And your only way you can really see that is to, and it sort of starts to make sense, is once you go to places like us and you look around, you go, wow, look at these cars. These are pretty incredible. These are people who have bought these cars, had them for a couple of years and gone out and bought the newer one. They're all still unbelievable cars, and there's
sure.
this massive concentration, but you don't see them on the road. You see the thing,
okay.
I mean, you see your Bentleys, and you would have seen plenty of Bentleys and Porsches and all of that.
And as you say, but AMGs, my good lord,
everywhere.
I've seen a ton of AMGs.
Everywhere, absolutely everywhere. But you don't see the really heavy-duty stuff. You don't see the Paganis and all of that. But you drive down the road, and you will pass a garage that will have a Senna in it. You will pass someone that has a LaFerrari or an Enzo. If you drive 500 metres to a kilometre, you will pass one.
Wow.
But people are very private.
And are they legal here? Because I went and filmed a LaFerrari in a, I think it was Gosford Car Collection, and I had a lot of messages saying you can't actually drive that here.
Yeah, that's correct. So we're very strict with, in terms of driving left-hand drive cars in this country. It's not like the UK where you can just pretty much drive them. Here, unless they're over a certain age or something along those lines, you can't actually drive them. So a new car has to be a right-hand built drive car.
Okay.
Which is makes it even more interesting that we actually have these like Veyrons and things, which are only built left-hand drive. People are buying them not to use them, just to
look at them, or as an
just
investment, or just to
a lot of them just to look at them.
Wow.
There's, I mean, if you a few hundred meters down the road, just in South Bank, there's a private collection which you can actually go into. I'd encourage you to go and have a look at it. It's the Fox collection. They've got a half dozen gull wings. They've got in there. They've got a one or two Veyrons. They've got, you name it, it's there. But it's just there as a collection, is just something interesting because they've got a passion for cars.
Wow.
Not necessarily because you can drive them.
But sure.
Interestingly, the laws look like they're actually going to change. So it might be the case that you will be allowed to drive left-hand drive cars in the country. But how that's all developing is anyone's guess, because our parliament's pretty messed up.
Probably, changes around quite a lot.
Maybe not as messed up as say, maybe not as messed up as yours at the moment.
I'm not
but
sure
it's not far off.
And so what about prices then? Because I found Australia quite expensive in general. I mean, naturally the maths is almost sort of divide everything by two. But looking on some of your sort of prices, it seems like cars are naturally a little bit more expensive. Mm. Do you find that the case? Do you buy stock internationally ever? I mean, what do you see price-wise?
No, we send cars away. Because the high percentage, I mean, there's only a certain amount of demand for particular types of cars, and that usually works on percentages. So we might have per capita 5% more of, you know, this particular car than another place, which is why, you know, we can't get the money for them because there's not the demand there and all that. So cars generally go overseas from here, and it's too difficult to import them, and we've got luxury car tax and duty. So if you bring in a car, whatever you pay for it, you're going to have to add up to, you're probably going to have to double that price once it's landed.
Okay.
So it's prohibitively expensive. But as a general rule, cars are more expensive here than other places in the world. But if you were to go the old Big Mac rule, you know, what a Big Mac costs in one country to another, it's relatively speaking, it's all the same. It's all supply and demand, and that's really what it comes down to. If people aren't willing to pay the money, then they won't. And we have to buy the cars at a higher rate as well, because that's what they're going at wholesale. They're wholesale more expensive here too.
I can only imagine.
Yeah.
And do you find that there's a particular manufacturer? I mean, you mentioned AMG, but of the sort of more prestige, exotic stuff, McLarens, Ferraris, Lamborghinis, that perform well in Australia or maybe in Melbourne?
Well, yeah, you mentioned it, like AMG, Mercedes-Benz is massive in Australia, massive. I mean, they're using them as taxis now.
It's ridiculous.
Which is, it absolutely pains me to say it, because I just think, I don't want a taxi driver driving the same car as me.
Sure, yeah, that would kill you.
But in the super exotics, definitely Ferrari. Ferrari and Lamborghini are massive. I mean, there'll be, of all the makes that are here today, Ferrari and Lamborghini will be head and shoulders above everyone else. I still think, to be fair, that I think people, if they've owned a Ferrari or a Lambo and they get into a McLaren, they might find it a bit boring.
Yep.
Is that a bad thing to say?
I do.
If you love that style of car and it's not my cup of tea. It's just not my cup of tea. And I think that's the same with a lot of, like, the 488, for instance. I think a lot of people missed that sort of raw edge that the 458 had over the 488. In every single sense, the 488's a much better car. But is it, just because it's better, doesn't make it better? That's the thing.
You've hit the nail on the head.
And I think people still, particularly in this country, they love that sense of occasion that comes with a car, because if they're buying it, they're not generally buying it as an everyday car. They're buying it as an additional car. So they want something that's really exciting. And that's why I think people still love going for Ferraris and Lambos, because everyone knows what a Ferrari is. Everyone knows what a Lamborghini is. And they just love the sense of occasion that comes with it.
And that's exactly it. I think McLaren are fantastic. And as I say, like, such an exciting product.
When you're absolutely famous.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the problem is when you're not, which is, let's face it, 90% of the time, because you're just driving to and from the epic road you're about to hoon in on, they can feel a little bit dull. And when you're spending 200 grand plus, you don't want dull. You want something really, really special.
But conversely, that actually makes it a better car, because you could conceivably use... You could use a 720S every single day.
Every single day if you wanted to.
No problem. Yeah. It's so easy. It's, if you can drive a Corolla, you can drive a 720S. It's only when you stick your boot in and you're not expecting it, then it can bite your head off.
Which I think is maybe what they were trying to go for.
Possibly.
But within that, they sort of opened it up so that anyone could sort of go, oh, wow, I can own a McLaren. But then also some people went, oh, this doesn't give us the same experience.
Yeah.
That's my own personal opinion. I think, you know, I'm someone the same. I want like a visceral experience. And I guess as a guy who likes pre-war and classics, you like being hands-on, feel like you're really driving a car.
When I get in a car, traction control goes off. Even if I'm just driving it normally, I hate, you know, when you go up to a roundabout or something and you just, it just starts to slip, but then it catches it because you're ready to react to it. But the thing is, the car's doing something else. So you end up in more trouble than it's worth.
A false feeling.
Exactly.
So let's talk about this evening. You guys have very kindly offered to host what looks like it's going to be quite an incredible meetup. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you've been touting numbers that get terrifyingly high. Mm. 1,000, I think you said at one point, which I will be sick at if that turns up.
It'll be at least 1,000.
That honestly will make me vomit.
Okay.
But
have you not done anything with this sort of number of people?
No.
Really?
Honestly, I've never really done a sort of meet and greet before until the start of this year.
Right.
And in Brisbane, we did a very casual thing and 500 people turned up. And I was like, this isn't for me. They've come to see something else. Like, there's something else going on. So I'm not quite prepared, I don't think. But do you see Melbourne as being one of the sort of the hot spots for car enthusiasts in Australia?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, absolutely no question. I mean, there's a number of reasons why. I mean, the quality of our roads are a lot better in Victoria. And we've got a lot more open roads and some world-famous roads, like the Great Ocean Road, which, if you want to drive it, I'm just telling you, it's actually not that great because it's absolutely full of tourists.
And I've heard this.
And you cannot go more than walking
caravans,
pace.
Caravans, cops, speed cameras. It's one of,
And international visitors will cause. So they're generally driving on the wrong side of the road.
And that would probably be me, to be honest. But
So it's, but as a general rule, yes, Melbourne is definitely the epicenter of the car world in Australia.
Okay.
But cars are popular everywhere. And you even go into Alice Springs. We've sold Ferraris into Alice Springs, into the Red Centre. Well, the buttons will, like every other Ferrari.
Yeah, tell me about that. What do they call it? Enzo's Revenge or something like that.
Enzo's Revenge will catch up if they send a Ferrari to the Red Centre. But we've sold them and they all seem, and there's a lot of, there's passion for cars everywhere.
Sure.
Just like there is everywhere in the world.
That's exactly, and that's what I'm trying to discover and prove almost this year. But this isn't the first time you've hosted a meet of this kind. Unbelievably, you've kind of become the social media meet and greet centre of Australia.
Yes, well, that's if you're giving us that badge, then we'll proudly wear it. Yeah, so we had Shmee at the very start of the year, I think in February or February, March, or something
Sounds
like
about
that.
Right.
And we had a large number of people who came down and he gave our Enzo a good rev. And then, like I was telling you, we had Supercar Blondie come down, and the only time we could do it was on a Tuesday, and this was sort of at the tail end of winter, and it was raining, and we were thinking, oh God, no one's going to turn up. We had over 1,000 people standing in the freezing cold and the rain, just coming here to you know, meet Supercar Blondie and all that sort of stuff. We did a video with her, which was great. And then you've come along and you've got an absolute corker of a day. And a Saturday evening, we're going to have a massive number of people here, and I think you're going to break Shmee and Supercar Blondie's record.
That's way too much pressure. They
quite
both have much bigger followings than
well,
me.
I'd take credit for it if I were you. Otherwise, I'll take full credit for drawing the crowd.
I was walking down Chapel Street earlier, paying people to come along, so I didn't feel embarrassed. So.
Well, no, we'll probably have to pay them to go away.
I'm super, super grateful. I think, as I say, from this incredible view we've got up here in this office, I keep seeing cars rolling in beneath us, which has been a little bit, a little bit distracting for me personally, so I'm desperate to grab my camera and go and catch things coming in. But you mentioned earlier, you've got a bit of a sort of open doors policy, so if people are stopping by or travelling to Melbourne, are you happy to welcome
them
and they can come
along?
Absolutely.
I mean, the reason we do these things is because we actually want to have that reputation of being a place where people can actually come visit. I mean, yes, we're in the business of selling cars. If everyone walked through the door and bought a car, that would be brilliant. But the reality is it's not. And the thing is that we like to think that not only do we have an environment which is inviting, but we offer a whole range of cars from, you know, cars that aren't actually that expensive. So conceivably, we can sell, you know, if someone just turns 18, we can sell them a safe, reliable European car, which is going to be, you know, something they'll be able to enjoy for a bit. When they start working, they earn a bit of money, they can come back and they can get an upgrade to another car until eventually they end up at this end and they're buying themselves a Ferrari. I mean, I had a group of 16-year-olds, just there were about 10 of them, come in last week. And they just said, oh, can we come in and have a look around? I said, absolutely. And they said to me, why do you let us go around? I mean, we can't afford any of these cars. And I said, one day you might. And if you like coming here and you find yourself here where you're in a position to afford one, come to us first. That's all we ask in return.
It's an aspirational thing.
Exactly. And we want people to get excited by cars and feel the same passion that we do. I mean, it's hard to keep that flame alive when you're around it every day. I mean, to be honest, all these cars are just metal too. But there are still some cars that I see where I get excited by them, and then you remember why you sort of do what you do. I mean, if you enjoy what you do, you're not really working, are you? And we want to create that passion for people and that sense of excitement and occasion, and hope that one day that when they find that they have a bit of money to spare, that they come down and buy something that they've always wanted to buy, even if they only want to have it for a couple of years. At least get some memories and have something that's a bit of fun.
It's a great mentality to have. It's a fantastic mentality to have because, you know, as you travel around the world, not every dealership is that welcoming and understanding. And I think for sure, if you're a young guy or just someone who, maybe isn't in a position to buy a new car at that time, to be able to come around these cars, be around them and have that goal of one day, I want to walk in there and say, cool, today I'm buying whatever it might be. I think it's a great thing to instill in people and a great hope to have. So, yeah, congratulations and bravo on that.
No, but I mean, the other thing is that it's really interesting doing all these things because we do a lot of experimenting with social media and all of that. Obviously, you've seen what we do. We've got a lot of stuff that we do on Instagram and YouTube and all those sorts of things. And it's interesting to see how that sort of develops on its own, how it sort of snowballs into something different. I mean, we get a lot of people from Bollywood coming down and filming their music clips. Wow. If you have a flick around on YouTube, I'm not quite sure where you find it, but there's a lot of Bollywood celebrities who come here just so they can get a few cool cars for their video clips. And then obviously we get you guys, so you know, we got Shmi and Supercar Blondie.
Did Shmi do his music video here as well?
Yeah, it wasn't a great success, so he never published it.
I can imagine, yeah.
I wasn't actually there I wasn't around for Shmi. I was I'm not sure what I was doing, but okay. I wasn't available, so I got to miss out on that one, unfortunately. But it's interesting to see how it transpires and how that changes how we do business within the broader community and how we conduct ourselves and also having you guys around, it gives us an insight into what the market's doing, not just sort of what the scene is here, but also where the market's going overseas, because the advantage we have in Australia is that we're a little bit slow to catch on to everything. So the smart people always look overseas to see where the trends are going and what's happening. So to get direct feedback from you guys is totally invaluable. So we're always happy to host something like this because it's the reality is we've got the facilities here, we've already got the building, we've got the car park. All we've got to do is just say everyone come along and we're if anyone here, we're probably the people that benefit most from it. And that's why we're so grateful to have you here. And, you know, anytime you're in Australia, we'll insist you come back.
Well, that's very kind. And
I hope you come to Australia more. I understand it's your first visit.
And I'm not here long enough. I'm already, stressed that I'm missing too much.
They do say it's the best country in the world.
So I've heard.
Well, so you've seen as well.
So I'm learning. But look, there you go. You've heard it, guys. If you are in the area, or even if you're not, it's worth the drive to come down here because it's a super impressive setup and they'll be more than happy to welcome you. Obviously, they're Lawback all over social media. I'll put their various links below this podcast so you guys can check them out. If they want to follow on Instagram, do you know the handle off the top of your head?
At Lawback Luxury Cars. Just type in Lawback Luxury Cars on YouTube and Lawback Luxury Cars on Facebook. It's all there.
You are a pro. Harry, thank you so much for joining me.
It's
I really appreciate
pleasure.
It.
Pleasure. Let's go downstairs and have some fun.
I agree.
All right, perfect.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.